You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
497. 498.
499.
500.
Let's go heavy.
Yeah. Got it.
Looking strong, Nick.
Go on, brush your shoulders off.
Red one is on the move.
Evening, ladies. What are you so excited about?
Of course, your boyfriend's here.
Okay.
Who's with Red?
Breach!
Someone took Nick. We're gonna find him.
I'm bringing in Jack O'Malley. He's probably the best tracker in the world.
The guy's a legend.
What am I doing here?
Last night, Red One, also known as St. Nicholas of Myra, was abducted from the North Pole complex.
Are you saying Santa Claus has been kidnapped?
Garcia?
What the hell?
You can't trust this guy. He's on the list. You don't mean
yes, that list. NL4. Are you telling me this clown is a level 4 naughty lister? A level 4 naughty lister?
Oh, is that funny too?
Hey.
You're gonna help us find Nick.
Come on, let's go.
Grab a car.
For what?
You don't have a Wonder Woman action figure, do you?
It's not how it works. Come on. There is much in here that is not of the natural world.
Who's that?
Krampus.
What are they doing?
They're playing crappish slop.
I think if you don't need me here, I might just go back to the car.
We need to prepare for the possibility of no Christmas.
There's worse ways to go out than trying to save Santa Claus.
We got snowmen!
That was so disturbing.
Go, and it is a Merry Christmas and a Happy, Happy New Year to one and all. And that's it. End of show. We're all busy. We've got shit to do. It's
It's Merry Christmas, everybody. Thanks.
It's
bye.
1 week before Christmas, and I have not done any shopping.
Oh,
yeah. It's what isn't one of those things like, I got plenty of time. Ooh, maybe a cheeky gift for myself. Oh, no.
You might have to hit one of those 18-hour shopping days at the Westfields, Dion.
Sure, I'll just do that in like when am I going to do that? When's that going to happen? I'm not going to go anywhere near Westfield. I fly so far away from Westfields on Saturday. It's not even funny.
Okay.
Anyway, hi everyone.
Hi.
Oh my God, we're all here. Look at you. Look at you with the Christmas lights. You've left me left out now, like some sort of fuckhead.
Yeah,
you
bastard. Merry Christmas, you fucking outcast.
You're all sitting there while I was trying to get stuff done and you all turned on your fucking filters and now here we go and now I'm just out here on myself, on my patty.
Yep.
Alone.
You know what this is? You are home alone, all by yourself. If you just go, oh.
My first thought was like, oh, I'm home alone. Time to set some traps. Let's hurt some people. Hey, Quinny. Hey, Jill. Hey, Peter. Oh, my God. We're all back for Christmas. It's a Christmas miracle.
Merry Crimbo.
Merry Crimbo.
Pete, how are you doing there? You look like Christmas is something that's happening around you.
Do you know what time zone you're in?
Barely. I haven't had a lot of December to enjoy, which is a shame because I love Christmas generally. But I don't decorate anymore, which is sad. It's sad for me. I don't know what to do about that.
What are you talking about? You got your lights up?
Yeah, look. I would suggest just going to Kmart or something like that and buying one sad piece of tinsel. And just putting it somewhere in your house, just that one piece.
Jesus.
And it has to be hung up with sticky tape and you have to leave it there for at least 10 years.
Yeah. Exactly.
You have to look like a bowling club from like 1989.
Fuck.
Exactly.
Go the whole hog.
I do have decorations in my cupboard, but I'm just never here in December because I'm always somewhere else.
Yeah.
Well, you have to be one of those freaks that just puts up your decorations in September.
Yes, just so I can enjoy them for longer.
Yeah.
You always have a rule against that in my family, though, so it feels good.
That's probably a good rule and a safe rule, let's be honest.
Right. Question to everyone. How thirsty are we tonight?
I am parched.
Parched?
My drink is empty.
Parched.
So yeah, no. Guess that means I'm thirsty.
That's straight vodka. Ho, ho, ho. Well, speaking of hoes, we are doing... Christmas thirst traps to round off this year as our very last show of 2024. And let me say, there's a lot of abs in this.
We got beefcake. We got cheesecake. What do you want?
Yeah.
It's like, I just want cake. Just cake.
Just cake. I don't care about it. Any old cake. Yeah. Cake is fine.
Yeah.
Cake's delicious, no matter how you put it in your mouth.
Yes.
Yeah. Or smear it all over you. Like, I'm not judgmental about how you imbibe your cake.
I am. I expect you to eat that shit.
Right. So on camera, slowly, for money.
How did we get to thirst traps for Christmas? Please explain.
It just happened to coincide that there was a lot of Christmas movie releases this year that were very sexy.
Yeah. We didn't make it happen. Netflix made it happen.
Yeah, thanks for that.
We're just observing a phenomena.
I was going to say more like we weren't. No one was paying attention to what we were doing, and then it just became a bunch of beefcake. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay,
it's Christmas romanticy. I'm here for it.
Christmas romanticy.
Yeah, it's like Hallmark movies, but like edge onto Akita. I don't know what's going on here, but it's very strange.
You know what? I can actually trace this back to how this came about, and I'm going to blame Quinny.
It's true.
Yep. I 100% blame Quinny because he found some of the heretic AI tool thing that did a podcast of Hot Frosty, and then that got everyone interested in what's Hot Frosty. And there we are. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, okay.
And I can
Quinny
actually go.
Quinny planted the seed.
I can go back a step further because this is actually my line manager's fault because she loves Hallmark, like unironically loves Hallmark movies. And, you know, her entirety of December is watching Hallmark smulchy shit. And then she found Hot Frosty and she said something to me about it. And I'm like, what the fuck is Hot Frosty?
Like, and then you Googled it with Safe Search off and you went, oh, my God. And then she's like, no, I'm talking about the Netflix show.
Yes.
You know what? I'm kind of disappointed that we can't get access to Lifetime movies in Australia because there are two movies out at the moment that are based on Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce, and I kind of am like morbidly curious and want to watch them.
See, there's a double act that I want to find, and this is something that my line manager went off to go and find. There's the two films that were made at the same time of the same story by Hallmark. So there's, I think it's something about like Romance in the Country and Romance in the City.
Oh,
and it's
okay.
Two sisters, long lost sisters or something like that, mm-hmm. One of whom starts in the country and then moves to the city and the other way around. And they filmed them both at the same time and used some of the same scenes but different takes and stuff. And then they released them to see which one was going to be more popular.
Oh.
And it's like an actual experiment in film about, you know,
well, what are the results? Because I always hear it's Big City Girl goes back to small town.
Yeah. One of the films is a more successful film. I don't know. I haven't watched the motherfuckers. Anyway.
That's research for us to do.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I will find them for you. You can all watch them and you can tell me and I'll be very thankful that I didn't have to watch.
But
So we started off with a trailer.
Yeah.
And the trailer was for Red One.
We start off with a blockbuster cinematic release, which is now available on direct to download home video.
Look, I was concerned that it was immediately available on streaming after only being out for a couple of weeks. But apparently Amazon were intending to release it straight to streaming anyway. But they were like, oh, well, we've got it ready. Let's just shove it on at the cinema and see if we can make a bit more cash.
Right, because I honestly thought that they were going for like big blockbuster release on this because it
looks... that's why I was worried. I'm like, oh shit. It's gone straight to free streaming. But no, that was the plan, apparently.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, it did feel like, and there are a few films that have gone very quickly to stream, like the Venom 3.
Oh, yeah, I did see Venom 3 has been fast-tracked. Yeah, Borderlands was pretty quick to go streaming.
Yeah. Like, I love that this is now the new straight-to-DVD, basically. It's like, oh, shit, it's in the VHS stores already?
Sorry, Missy has said free streaming. I just mean in the case of it's not behind a paywall on a streaming app.
Sure. Yes. You don't have to do it for $5.99 for a while.
No.
Or those $30 killer ones.
What the fuck's up with that? Anyway. I'm not going to pay you $30 to rent your fucking movie.
True.
Anyway, what did we think of Red One? Because
and also let's keep it.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, let's keep
it
short. Each one of these. This isn't going to be a traditional kind of review. This is more your Christmas chaos party stuff where hopefully no one gets sent to meet HR tomorrow morning.
I'm just photocopying my ass as we speak.
I'm sitting on a lamp.
I sat in the pot plant.
Christmas parties are fucking wild.
Peter's just like, I am not going to HR tomorrow. So we're just going to kind of rapidly roll through these as fast as possible. So don't have to feel like you have to do it. Yeah, but what did you think? Red One, I didn't like. I did not care for it. There we go. End of story.
I had doubts, but I actually really enjoyed it. I'm like, okay, this is like a Christmas sci-fi fantasy film, and it was kind of giving. I really liked it.
I was kind of with you. Like, I was not all reviews were like, this is a piece of shit, and it made no money, and it's like a massive failure. And I watched it, and because my expectations were so low, I was like, you know what? It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
I laughed. Krampus fighting.
Krampus was cool. I liked that bit.
It tonally like just set it a little bit strange for me because I wasn't quite sure if it was supposed to be a comedy. It felt like an action movie that they were playing way too seriously. Like I couldn't get into the tone of it. It's like, am I supposed to like Chris Evans or is he just a dick? Like all of these.
That's part of the Christmas movie trope. And in a way, this one was a kind of a by the numbers Christmas film of a certain type.
Both The Rock and Chris Evans in this and neither of them take their shirts off?
And yet, Santa Claus there, buff as fuck.
Yeah.
J.K. Simmons, ripped up.
Yeah.
Sorry, you were saying, Peter, what are the tropes?
One of the tropes is the kind of, you know, the bad dude who you kind of don't really like, and then Christmas teaches him how to be not a bad dude anymore.
It's a classic story.
And usually it's like a deadbeat dad. You see it in The Santa Claus with Tim Allen. You see it Back to Scrooge. You see it like that's a very, very like high Christmas movie.
It's a Wonderful Life.
And I think there was a lot of this that was very by the numbers for Christmas movies for me. So even though I wasn't that interested when I watched it. I was like, there's the classic Christmas movie moment done in a slightly different way that I quite like the entry to the North Pole and the world building in the North Pole and that moment where you get to see the North Pole. Like it's such a classic, you know, moment. Anything from my favorite one was always Santa Claus the Movie with Dudley Moore.
I've heard a lot of people comparing Red One to Santa Claus the Movie. Because they both do the thing of kind of making Santa Claus an industry, as opposed to being the magical, you know, elfish toy maker. It's like, no, it's big fucking, it's gigantic. Yeah,
it's
industry.
The same with The Santa Claus with Tim Allen, which, you know, has become in its own way kind of a bit of a Christmas classic. They all have the exact same kind of plot elements where, you know, you have... the Tim Allen character, he's a deadbeat dad, you know, doesn't help his wife enough, doesn't do enough for his son, doesn't really believe in anything or anyone. And then Christmas, you know.
But
this Chris Evans character was that. You're supposed to kind of hate him, but you know that he's going to come good because he's that guy. Christmas, I'm good now.
I've never ever wanted to see Tim Allen with his shirt off.
Oh, no, the Santa Claus, the the Santa Claus is just the first one. I'm not sure about if it needed to be trilogized.
I just love how much we're adding to the schedule.
It turned into an ongoing series, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't think it needed to.
No.
The entry to the North Pole was so magical for me as a child in that Dudley Moore movie that we used to watch every single Christmas. That was the one movie that we watched. And you'd get that moment where you'd like get to the North Pole and you look around and you see everything. You see this kind of like magical world that's been built, and it's like super cool and fun and special. And so I really liked that moment in this one that they did the same thing, but, you know, in that kind of sci-fi way, instead of, you know, the more kind of traditional.
I just like that they fought snowmen and pulled their noses off.
Yeah. That was also fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I feel like a tween would really enjoy this for some reason. Yeah. But I also, I feel like an adult is going to be sitting there and go, okay, cool.
I don't know. It's a family movie, I think.
Yeah. Okay. I thought it was like a lot better than I was expecting it to be for the amount of hate that it got. So,
yeah.
You know.
Fair enough.
Moving on.
Okay.
What's next?
Next.
Well, what do you want to talk about now? I mean, ultimately, this has to come out.
We haven't taken any shirts off yet.
No.
Okay, well, let's go straight into Hot Frosty.
Hey, so nice to see you.
You get your heat fixed?
My life is a mess right now. Good things come to you when you're out in the cold, Kathy. Clearly, you've been doing your push-ups. You know what? You keep it.
You're stuck in there pretty bad. You want me to get behind you and push? Huh?
It feels amazing.
Excuse me, can I help you? This is Jack.
I was a snowman.
That's not good. The coveralls and the boots, did you steal them?
Yes. Man went streaking in front of poor Ethel Jennings.
Hi there.
Oh. I thought you could use some clothes, but you're gonna have to try them on. Oh, whoa, no, not right now.
Got it.
Maybe he's got something to hide.
We could just turn the temperature down.
In my house,
we like it hot.
What are you doing?
You really gonna interrupt my finest interrogation work like that?
I've never been on a date before. Please, I need your help with Cassie. It's been a minute for me, too.
What in the name of God?
Just gonna lean in a bit, okay? I
wanna make the most of the time that I have with you.
A man that sweet's just gotta be magic. For a snowman. You're one heck of a romantic.
Perfect. No notes. Loved Hot Frosty from the moment he put on the scarf to the moment he became someone who, I don't know, what happened in the movie? Someone explain Hot Frosty
this
to me.
Another romantasy film, but it is full of delusion. Like, from the get-go, she receives a magical scarf that she puts on a snowman because he looks cold, and then
even though he looks mostly naked.
Yes.
My question is, if you take the scarf off him, does he turn back into a snowman?
Well, here's the thing. Perhaps because he wore that scarf for the entire film.
Yeah, they thought there might be some magical element. But can I just say that was like super rude about the scarf, because that was a special scarf that belonged to somebody else that had just been gifted to her. And she was like,
I'm just
going to leave it here.
I'm just going to give it to an inanimate object made out of snow because
I'm essentially going to leave it on the ground. I'm going to leave it outside because, you know, lady who gave me this shit, fuck you. What a bitch you are.
I really only took it to make her happy, but I don't want it.
It's just weird.
Does Hot Frosty have a carrot instead of
and if you pull it off, does
you like to know?
I love the idea of at one point The Rock coming in and reaching into his pants going, I'm gonna get his carrot, and everyone's just like, yeah, we're here for this.
Oh, no.
Wow. Well,
there is a fantastic scene in this movie where they take this fella to the doctor because he might have a fever because he seems to be running very cold, but is also sweating. And the doctor's like, Yeah, he might be a snowman brought to life, but whatever. It's Christmas.
That's my kind of doctor.
I think
and
that doctor.
That's the delusion I'm going for in these romantic films.
That's the doctor that it may have been getting into the medicinal marijuana a little bit too much over the holiday season, and it's just sure.
Okay, what I need to know, because I haven't, I'm sorry to say, I haven't seen this film. I've had...
You're missing out, Quinny.
I know, I really do feel like I am.
The 5% plot that existed in the film.
If, you know what? 5% is more than some of the shit that I've seen. So, you know what? I'll take it. I need to know, is this taking the premise and everything seriously, or is this ironic? Are we ironically saying, hey, look at this hot, frosty man... This movie is a fucking joke.
It honestly does feel a little bit ironic in moments. Yes, it 100% knows what it's doing.
It knows what it's doing.
Yeah, hence the line from the doctor of like, hey, it's Christmas. He might be a snowman brought to life. Whatevs.
Okay.
Also the line, I used to go to school with that girl. Like.
Okay. Can I? Maybe,
Netflix is just making their very own Christmas universe and they give... No shits, basically.
Yeah.
Is it a shared Christmas universe? Like, are we going to have, like, Christmas Avengers?
Oh, God.
I don't know, maybe. Maybe there's going to be some love triangles next year.
I'm a sucker for a fucking shared universe. And, like, the moment you start connecting films, I am there.
It wouldn't
Hang
be
on a second, because there's one of these movies that I watched that does cross over with the Vanessa Hudgens Christmas movies where she's that princess. Was it this one?
Oh, what? God. I don't know.
No, maybe it wasn't this one.
It wouldn't be. Okay. It couldn't be a love triangle in these days anyway. It'd have to be some sort of polyamorous snowflake. that's where you're all connected by.
Oh my God! I have to find out which movie.
Actually, this is better than I think going into a rating for each one and going through. But can we either say that the movie has been, you know, is it thirsty, as in thirst trappy, or is it?
Yes, Dustin Milligan was obviously thirsty.
The boy was looking deeply dehydrated.
I have to say, like, yay for female gaze, but also that can't be safe. That was a lot of
shoes. He was looking very, very
no hydration for that man.
Right.
He had 0% body fat, and it was disturbing.
Right. So not in a hot way, not in a sexy way, more like kind of like, please have a drink.
Yeah, honestly.
But to do that whole muscle shred thing, that is one of the things you have to do is be super dehydrated. So you know, to get that kind of like super svelte, muscly.
I mean, I know because I'm cutting all the time.
But most of the film, which was mostly shirtless, I was like, oh, my God, you poor man. You poor man.
I've been cutting with strawberry thick shakes every day.
Yeah, I'm cutting as we speak.
Okay.
Sorry, I interrupted you.
No.
Just to answer your question, though, I did a little bit of reading, and apparently, yes, this is a Netflix expanded universe. It is crossing over with other films, so there is a connection with Falling for Christmas.
Yes. This is the one, because I'm sure that, it was in... There was a newspaper clipping, and it was Vanessa Hudgens' princess character from the Christmas movie that she did that was in this one, I think.
And there's also a thing with, I was literally
Wait, you
just
said
reading.
Falling for Christmas? That was the Lindsay Lohan one from last year.
No, but that was Lindsay Lohan in this one, which is why Lacey Chabert said, hey, I used to go to school with that girl.
Oh, I missed that.
Yeah, yes. That was like, it was a ridiculous Mean Girls.
Why do we need shared universes?
Wait,
in
no,
Hallmark?
It wasn't this one. It was Merry Gentlemen. Merry Gentlemen crosses over with the Vanessa Hudgens Christmas one.
Did you say Merry Gentlemen, Jill?
I did!
We are going to make this show something truly special. Something this town has never seen before. Who's ready to make some Christmas magic?
Was that a rhetorical question?
I was supposed to be inspirational.
Sounded rhetorical. How about you guys?
Whatever. Let's get started. Christmas at the Rhythm Room used to be a tradition around here.
But now it's on life support.
Whoa!
Hole in the wall with too many holes in the walls.
Oh! A leak!
There's got to be a way to get people excited about this place again.
Would you think male strippers are the answer?
Male Dance Review.
Men taking their clothes off?
It's men taking their shirts off.
Oh, it's a different story then.
Really?
No.
Ready to get your dance on?
He's cute.
He's annoying.
He's available.
We only have until Christmas to save this place, or it's gone forever.
Just a few more measurements. His guys are up there.
Shout out to the merry gentlemen.
My number.
I'll get that.
Here's just another delusional Christmas film where they have to raise money to save a dying bar, and they've got 5 days before Christmas to do it, and only four dudes in town that are able to simultaneously dance and have abs.
Right.
And have abs. That is
and
a skill.
Have abs.
Like, I mean, look, I mean, to be absolutely fairly honest, I like the premise of this one 100% because it's like, what is it, 5 days before Christmas?
And, yeah, they got to raise $30,000.
And they got to raise $30,000, so they're going to do something very specifically for the demographic that is probably the most stressed out and angry at this point in time during Christmas. And I'm like, well done to them. They have a marketing opportunity that's just working really well for that. It's like, look, useful men over Christmas.
Yeah, so one happens to be the guy that works in the bar. One of them is the local handyman played by Chad Michael Murray, who is like absolutely came out of nowhere in the last couple of years as super hot. And her sister's husband that works in the town, I think he was a doctor or something. And then the random Uber driver that loves to dance and does like TikTok shit.
Of course. So. The four men that you find in every small town across every
but
place.
Then, when one of the guys hurts his ankle and can't dance anymore, the old guy that just sits around the bar says, hey, I'm actually secretly hot and can dance too, and joins in. So they cover a wide age demographic.
I often go to a regional bar and find the oldest barfly there who it suddenly has a six-pack and can dance. Like, that's a common thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be me.
But the thing that really sold me on this movie was the girl's parents played by the dad from Family Ties and Aunt Zelda from Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Perfect.
I just love this combination of like old TV shows and shit movies and stuff like that. It's like it's like just pulling down the little like glowing lights and going, we will take you and we will take you and we will take you and now we will put you in the shit film. Have fun.
Yeah. But this is so PG because they only ever take off their shirts.
Well, so what you're telling me is that this is a dong-free kind of situation.
Yeah, this is a very, like, if the kids are in the room, it's not going to get too saucy.
There's no out-the-back champagne room where you can meet with a VIP experience with any of the dancers after you've had one too many. What do they have? Cosmopolitans these days? I don't know what people drink. What's a stereotype? A mimosa.
I mean, the Budweiser is strong in this one. My one line of view is the Budweiser.
Oh, right. Sorry. I thought that was a dance move. Okay, tell us about the Budweiser and drop a Budweiser in the chat so everybody knows what we're saying as opposed to butt wipes.
Am I freezing?
No,
you look very warm.
For me, this was the full Monty with more Christmas and less plot.
Yeah.
Significantly less plot.
Yeah.
Hang on. What percentage of plot are we at here?
Like 5% plot. Like,
oh, another 5.
10% five. Christmas, and then the rest of it is just torsos.
As it should be.
I like Peter's math.
The premise is whimsy. But right from the very beginning where you like you see this like dance sequence that she's a part of as this like star dancer in New York, and it's like, oh, sweetheart.
It's supposed to be the Rockettes, and it's like...
It's supposed to be the Rockettes, and she's supposed to be the star Rockettes.
It's giving third grade pageant. It's awful. That's the most unbelievable part.
Right.
The most unbelievable
part. So you start from there. And then you're like, wow, belief is suspended. Okay.
I'll tell you what the most believable part was when Chad Michael Murray gaslights her about wanting to leave to go back to her well-paying job.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh. Yes. Is he more Cad Michael Murray than Chad Michael Murray? Oh,
indeed. Yeah. There's a burgeoning romance happening, but then she gets her job offered back to her. So she's like, okay, well, thanks, guys. Good luck with the rest of the shows. I'm going to go back to my job that I was fired from and came back home because I had no money. So now I'm going to go back and get paid again.
To
and
he's money.
Like, I can't believe you're just leaving. And I'm like, excuse me? You want her to stay in town with no job and you're going to support her on your handyman business?
Yes.
No, okay. You're going to support her on his exotic dancing business.
Yes, obviously. In the small town of 10,000 women. Like, that's not going
in
to
in a small
old.
Town of 10,000 women. Yes, they did a lot of business in this tiny town.
How did they make 30K in 5 nights?
I mean, if there's 10,000 like, women, it's only $3 a night.
And then, like, there's a $30 cover charge. I'm like, how many people in this town?
Wait, so even if they paid 30, then that means they only needed 1,000 women.
Over how many nights? 5 nights.
Yeah, but the bar looked like nights. There was maybe 50 people in there.
So if it's a 50 capacity bar.
Let's bring math to this.
How
Can
many shows mean? A night do you have to do?
Are they doing matinees? Are they doing Saturday matinees?
Possibly. Maybe it could be doing, like late night cabaret. There's the 5 o'clock show, the 8 o'clock show,
yeah.
The 10 the p.m. and then the midnight.
Yeah, right. Okay.
We've only got 63 shows to do for $5 a head before we can. What?
The solution to the old Hallmark Christmas movie trope of, you know, once big city girl returns home, she discovers that, like, something very important to the family or very important to the community that she loves is actually in danger because she hasn't been there to support it this entire time, but suddenly she cares. Yeah. So this is like a super cool bar that was like a cool live music venue.
Yeah,
like
I mean, the fucking Princess of Genovia, Vanessa Hudgens, used to go there. Like,
yep. So they're like, okay, so no, we have to save. We have to save the bar. How are we going to do it? Amateur magic mic. Yeah.
Yes, amateur magic mic.
Yeah.
But amateur magic mic with just whoever I can put my hands on right now.
Mediocre
mic.
Thank God.
Do you have a muscle? Let's go.
Thank God they've all been just doing crunches though, because they're so bored in this hometown that they're just like, "What do you do? Ab workout, man! Like every day. I'm doing an ab workout right now."
You know? But it's literally the four guys that are just in her immediate vicinity, and they just all happen to have
so
abs.
She doesn't do auditions or anything.
Very.
She's like you. You took your shirt off. You've got abs. You're in,
man.
They've got object permanence. They're right in front of her.
Yeah. The sister's husband, though, like, that was a weird one.
The reason I love the full Monty is because it's, like, normal dudes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that's the charming appeal about it.
There's a lot of character development and plot in full Monty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not so much here.
There was less character development and plot in this.
Yeah.
Right.
This I think the character development was supposed to be with Chad Michael Murray's character, but that character development kind of turned into him being like, oh, I love you, and now you can't leave.
This all sounds like absolute really nonsense.
Is that a segue?
Christmas is coming early this year. I wouldn't count on a silent night. You're my worst list. Looking at
you got me thinking Christmas. Welcome to a nonsense Christmas. And when you're coming down the chimney, oh, it feels so good. Let me come warm you up. You've been out in the snow. Hope you like surprises. Sounds like ho, ho, ho.
Ghosted pass?
Oh my god, ghosted present.
I love your bangs.
Thank you. I got them because he ghosted me. Yeah. So. I'm talking decking all the halls. I'm talking spiking eggnog.
I'm talking opposite of small. I'm talking. This is all very silly. It's very much
now
like
we're
a
up to the cheesecake section of the evening.
Fantastic. It's been beefcake. Now serve me my cheese.
Am I the only one that watched this special, by the way?
You may have been the only one who watched all of these, Jill.
Oh, God. Okay, well, I love me some Sabrina Carpenter, and when I found out that she had her own Christmas Netflix special, I'm like, well, I'm putting that on. Let's go.
Why not?
And it was very cute. It was giving like old-fashioned variety hour Christmas comedy kind of thing. I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well, then I can perhaps get behind that because I looked at what we just saw then and I'm like, what the fuck am I watching? Is this a sketch comedy show? Is it a musical? I mean, I got to say, I'm clearly not the target market for this because I don't even know who the fuck Sabrina Carpenter is. Sorry.
So to get across the point of, I can't believe you don't know who Sabrina Carpenter is.
I can tell your face and body did an awful lot of work in explaining that.
You're talking to somebody who's never watched The Sound of Music. I don't know why anything surprises you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can't really get this.
I'm never going to live this shit down, am I?
is she Sabrina from the Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or is she the Carpenter from the Carpenters?
No. She's an ex-Disney Channel little tween star who has, like, cracked the market in the last 2 years of being an absolute pop sensation.
She's JoJo Siwa. So.
Oh, God, get out, Dion.
Fucking hell, man.
I can speak to the youth. You leave me alone.
Anyway, I'd like to say that millennials are probably the one generation that so far has tried to keep up with every single trend, but it is getting harder. So I understand that the gentlemen in the show tonight may not be up with who all of the celebrity guests were on this show.
I saw the list appear on the screen and I'm like, I have no
Chappell
idea.
Chappell Roan and Twyla and...
I know Chappell Roan.
Oh, yay.
I get an ally cookie.
Well done, Grandpa.
Ow, my back hurts. I need an ibuprofen.
And this was the first night that I heard Last Christmas, but then I found out that Whamageddon does not include covers.
So no, it doesn't.
You can all safely watch this program.
But
not Carry On.
No, thank you. I was going to say, I found out the hard way that Carry On will wham you in the middle of the fucking film.
I don't play, so I don't care. If I did play, I would have been whammed weeks ago when the trailer for a documentary literally about that song was playing at the event that I was at.
Amazing.
We're not talking officially about Carry On, are we?
Well, we don't have a trailer for it, but it is.
Oh no! I've got a trailer for it. Hang on, let me. I know you think I don't, but
trading for a package of sunshine and ravioli, macaroni. If you want the thing you love,
you did it! Congratulations, world's best cup of coffee. Great job, everybody. It's great to meet you. Hi.
Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. You thought I'd fucking forgotten about it, but no, I had not.
Well, now it really feels like Christmas.
Yeah.
It does.
son of a bitch.
You son of a bitch. Anyway, Carry On. Loved it. 5 stars. Will Ferrell was great.
I believe this one's actually called Carry On Up the North Pole. I did make a couple of Carry On jokes, and I was so disappointed that Annalise was like, I don't get that. I'm like, oh, shit, you're the wrong generation. You don't, like, okay, hands up in the room. Who knows about the Carry On films?
What do you mean?
Know about them? Sure. Watch them? No.
Dion? Okay.
My favorite is Carry On Up the Khyber.
There we go. Carry On My Wayward Pun. Very nice. Okay. So, yes, I kept on making jokes about Carry On This, Carry On That, and I realized they were falling upon deaf ears because there's now an entire generation that has never heard of the Carry On films. There were too many of these fucking films, and they were just sex-pest films. They were... comedy, Benny Hill style.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, there's absolutely...
Can you blame me for not knowing what they are then?
No, I don't blame you at all.
100%. We're like, hey, go back and watch this, and you'll come back going, why am I watching this?
It's terrible. What's wrong?
Okay. But back then, yeah, height of comedy.
I wasn't really a fan of this Carry On. I thought it carried on. Yeah, I'm like, it's giving Die Hard meets Phone Booth, and it was all just a little bit trying too hard.
Okay.
I thought it was giving Die Hard meets Phone Booth, but at the end I decided what it was really giving was Sam's sprint through the airport in Love Actually meets the door chase scene from Monsters, Inc.
But what's the actor's name?
So just go watch those
put
two
that
things.
Thing back where it came from also helped me.
Taron Egerton. Sorry. Yes, Taron Egerton. Did he get his shirt off at least?
No.
Well, I've always watched Taron.
He did take his shirt off, but he had a t-shirt underneath.
What a tease.
No, sorry, Missy. No, I do not have a trailer for this actual Carry On film because this is just a throw-in edition.
This is just me throwing a thing because I was like, hey, that's a thing that I watched. And I found myself quite enjoying it. The thing that got me was what's his name? Jason Bateman.
Doing his Ozark best.
I haven't seen Ozark, so I was just like... I believe that's where he runs away from the Nazis through the mountains. Is that what happened?
Yeah, man, either, I also sings haven't a lot seen about Ozark. It's not my jam.
I did like,
actually, but yeah, like I was like, oh, Jason Bateman is actually kind of intense and scary. Funnily enough, cool, and I enjoyed it.
You know, in a weird segue, this will work really well for Peter and Jill. But I did a training course today, and one of the courses, the name was just Ladders. And I went and I stood up and went like in Community. I went, ladies and gentlemen, Ladders. Like, that is a funny joke. And Quinny, you won't get that because you haven't seen Community.
I've seen all the Community, you fucking idiot.
You're thinking of Parks and Rec.
Yeah, I haven't seen Parks and Rec.
No. It's definitely Community. You didn't watch Community.
So what Quinny doesn't understand is don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious.
She doesn't understand that
I made my money the old-fashioned way. I got run over by a Lexus. yes. Sorry.
Anyway, I thought Carry On was okay. Actually, Carry On, perfectly serviceable, whatever, not particularly exciting, had some moments.
Yeah, exactly.
But the scene that plays Wham! Last Christmas is a car accident scene that's one of the most bizarre pieces of shooting I've seen.
Actually an incredible scene.
That was
probably the one thing I did enjoy the most out of that movie was a fight sequence within a car chase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the car, out of the car, as the car crashes and crashes into other cars.
Yeah.
I was like,
that was some amazing filming. Yeah.
Like if I'd seen that in pretty much any other fucking film, I would have been like, holy fuck. In this one, I was like, oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of our last two films to get through in the next 10 minutes, quick tear open the wrapping paper. Which one? They're both animated. Which one do you want to talk about
first?
These
are the ones where I haven't done the heavy lifting.
In fact, am I the only one who's watched both of these?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then let's go with the one that another one from The Rock.
Okay. Sonic 3 it
is. Let's have a look at Mona.
Mona.
Hey,
Mona. Ooh, Mona.
You wanted to come this time.
Moana!
Little sis!
Fixes! You were gone forever.
It was 3 days.
Where are we going?
Before Maui stole Tifiti's heart,
our ancestors
wanted to connect our island to all the people of the entire ocean. It's my job as a wayfinder to finish what they started.
Moana, show our people just how far we'll go.
This is a call from the ancestors.
Hidden in a terrible storm. It's an ancient island. Setting foot on its sands would break the curse, bring our people together again.
I know what I have to do. Maui, I could really use your help.
Can I get a chihu?
You will be destroyed, and your wayfinder too.
Now I kind of miss the lava monster.
Ow! Ow!
What if you don't come back?
I'll be back. I promise.
Do I hear people?
Those aren't people. Cockamora!
You guys, we got this! Bring it on, Coco!
Nuts!
McWhirr, I really want to see this one, so don't spoil it for me, Queenie.
I won't spoil it for you. Okay. I will say that so Casper in the chat says, how well is this doing at the box office? $717 million fucking dollars. It has outdone Dune 2. It is shitting all over everything. Yes, it's fine.
Wow.
It's,
is this a holiday is it a Christmas thirst trap though, Quinny?
Oh, well, look, there is a character who gets around entirely shirtless for most of the film and has tattoos all over him, a rippling 12-pack. yes, he's animated. Yes, he is voiced by The Rock. No, he doesn't have as good a song as the first one.
No.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, he's been very busy starring in things like Red One.
He has.
Yeah.
Look. Casper saying it's heard it was only serviceable. So this one originally started out as being like a director streaming movie, like and I've heard a few people saying they thought it was going to be a director streaming series, and then they've kind of turned it into a film and put, you know, got the original cast back and kind of uplifted it to being a feature, and they've clearly made the right call because it's made a fuck ton of cash.
Question.
Yes.
Aren't they making the live action version?
They certainly are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rock is just churning them out.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's got some nice, it's got a whole bunch of new characters. Like, so the first one is very much just Moana and Maui going and doing things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more people who go on the adventure this time. And there's, look, my biggest problem with it, and It's a fun adventure. It's got some cool new stuff. But the biggest problem is the music's nowhere near as entertaining.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Did they get Lynn back to do the music
no.
or not? Oh, no.
No, they didn't get Lynn back at all. And, you know, quite often it's very clear that the people that they did get, who are apparently Polynesian and you know, are, like, very well respected, but they're doing a Lynn impression. And... yeah, so it sort of has that feeling of like, oh, we're not quite.
Okay.
And, yeah, like the bad guy is, yeah, the bad guy is really the big problem with this. It doesn't work at all.
Oh.
Yeah, but other than that, it's a lot of fun.
it's a great time. All right, go see it. It's amazing.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. My favorite thing is that they're, you know, the little kakamoras, the coconut people. Yeah. There's one of those who is clearly Wolverine. They're just like going, okay, we're going to make a Wolverine coconut. And everyone's like, sweet.
Was it voiced by Hugh Jackman?
Okay. No, he doesn't say anything other than.
Yeah, that's why they could say. It. Obviously, they say, yes, that was coconutted by Hugh Jackman.
Hey, oh, hi, Predakanga. Welcome. And
I really wanted it to be good because I love the first Moana.
Me
film.
Too. I went in with very high hopes and it's fine, okay. But it just doesn't have the magic of that first one.
Right. This is why you need to leave a little bit of space between the original film and the sequel, like, so you can get all of that kind of stuff back. Why that's why they left Gladiator for 22 years before they made the sequel.
Yeah. And that was so successful.
Yeah. And look, you know.
I'm just trying to check who the bad guy voice is.
Oh.
Ahwimaya Fraser, I think, is the actress.
Okay.
Not Kate Blanchett.
Right.
And yeah, unfortunately. Yeah,
Quinny, I'm gonna have to roll it
I
up.
I mean, I'm glad there's a villain in a Disney film again. I'm sick of it always being like, oh, your self-consciousness was the villain the whole time, and that kind of bullshit. Like, I love a raging homosexual villain in these Disney films. Like, who are the gays supposed to look up to?
She does have strong bisexual energy. I'm not going to lie. There is a powerful bisexual aura around the villain, but doesn't quite work. Anyway, and moving on. Now, a couple of people, like even Jill, when we started this, said, so is Sonic 3 a Christmas movie?
No, and I said, Sonic 3 is a thirst trap. Thank you, Quinny.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
Yeah, we.
So I think there's going to be a lot of hear me out cakes about Moana 2 and Sonic 3.
Look, got to go fast. We're getting into this trailer.
Here we go. Showtime.
What is this den of madness?
Are you Detective Pikachu?
He does look like a Pokemon. Pika Pika.
Konichi, what?
Get down!
It's time, Shadow. Finally, we will have our revenge.
But what good is a dastardly plot if you can't conspire with family?
There's two Eggmen now?
Double your villains, double your fun.
Any last words?
Nice magic marble, real scary.
That actually is real scary. Trick shot.
Tom, Maddie, we need your help on a super... Knuckles, do you mind?
Oh, excuse me.
Tom, Maddie, we need your help on a super dangerous top secret mission.
We're in.
Are you ready?
We were born ready.
All right, boys, try and keep up.
Come on, Granddaddy-O. We've got dirt to do.
With Shadow's power,
we can rule humanity.
When we're done, there won't be anything left to rule. That is dark.
Somebody better call Google Maps.
Life's all about the choices we make. Remember to listen to your heart. You're going to make the right choice when it matters the most.
One hedgehog to another. Who does your highlights?
The more you talk, the harder I want to hit you.
This ends now.
Our destiny awaits. You are right about one thing. This ends now.
There you go.
Gotta go
Sonic
fast.
Three.
I do need to ask, though, do you have to have seen the Knuckles series to watch Sonic 3?
Oh, no.
And very
quickly. I got one episode into that series and I was like, oh, I can't do this.
And very, yeah, very quickly, yeah, do not Google search Knuckles alone. Clearly state that it's Sonic the Hedgehog Knuckles, and then be careful about what you put after that.
Though, if you do go searching for Knuckles, you may find some footage of Idris Elba in the voice booth doing his voice work for Knuckles with the giant fucking butt, like,
No.
Yeah, he wears them while he's doing it because he gets him into the character.
And that's like, kind of
I am an echidna warrior. Anyway.
Fucking
amazing.
Look, it's the end of 2024 and we are at our third Sonic movie. And if you were to tell someone that back when the original Sonic trailer came out, they would have punched you. And I'm like, literally would have punched you.
Look, the internet made Sonic great because we could have had that freak with the teeth. And we fixed it as a collective. That is where the internet had its true power. And it was the only time the internet did something for good.
Yeah, it is absolutely true. It is one of the most successful course corrections I've ever seen a film studio make.
Yeah, yeah. And I love Sonic. That first movie was great. Second one, I would say, Pete, maybe 1% plot to your 5% in the romance films. Very loosely, like, what is happening here. Yeah. So I'm quite interested to watch the third one, to be honest.
And look, Missy's asking the question, where was the ugly Sonic cameo? That was in Chip and Dale.
Oh, that, yeah. Yes.
Chip and Dale, yeah. Behind Uncanny Valley. It was amazing.
Like, yes. The first one came out in 2020. This is only 2024. Like, they've almost punched a Sonic movie out every year.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Like, holy shit. Was it only 2020 yes. when the first one came out?
I mean, like, you know, the internet, like, railed in anger in 2019 when they saw the first, like, trailer. And then made them go back to the formula. And then came out with, like, is this okay? And everyone was like, yes.
Yes.
Acceptable. Yeah, that's the only bit of cinematic majestic, great thing that could convince Jim Carrey to come out of retirement.
Now, okay, like, this is the thing. That, you know, everybody was saying, okay, Jim Carrey has said he's retiring from acting. This is him done. He wasn't going to do anything. And he came back because he saw something that he could do in Sonic 3 that was amazing. And I'm going to tell you this right fucking now.
Yes.
It's Jim Carrey / Ivo Robotnik's world, and we're all just living in it. He fucking owns this film in a way that I was not expecting at all. And it's like going back to classic Jim Carrey of the like early, the 90s, that really manic, crazy fucking shit where it wasn't, I honestly was just like, this is legitimately funny. I was laughing a lot throughout the film. And then when I wasn't laughing, I was like, that's a sexy hedgehog. Like, I know that we're not meant to be talking about, you know, kink thirst traps, but
hey,
that's a sexy fucking hedgehog. Shadow the Hedgehog, voiced by Keanu Reeves.
Oh, like, okay.
Like,
is the voice doing it for you?
Yeah. Yeah. The whole, he's black, he's a bad boy, he rides a motorbike, even though he's a super fast hedgehog for no reason.
So dumb.
You know, he even does the, like, okay, he does the Akira slide on the motorbike, but he does it up a building, so he's sliding vertically up a building and then jumps off the fucking motorbike at the top to fall down and punch Sonic. It's just like...
Okay, that is a sexy hedgehog, yeah.
There is
<I'm sold.
laughs> so much sexy hedgehog, and technically... Until tomorrow, I'm not allowed to review it. So this is my social reaction is, look at that hedgehog. Look at that hedgehog.
No, I almost made it through 2024 before everything broke me. But it was... and I was talking to my friend and he was saying how sexy the hedgehogs were and I was like, where am I? Well, oh, sorry, I'm not in therapy. Okay, right. Okay, fine.
I mean, yeah, there's some questionable shit in there. Like, if you've played the later Sonic games where Shadow the Hedgehog came in, do any of you know any of the Shadow the Hedgehog storyline or anything?
Just that he's like Sonic's clone or something. He's the antithesis of Sonic.
He's antithesis of Sonic. He came to Earth 50 years ago and... has been essentially experimented on for many, many years, whereas Sonic came here and found friends. But Shadow found a young girl to be his friend, and it's totally fucking weird because it's like this animated cartoon hedgehog is friends with a 12-year-old girl and they hang out in the park and have play games and it's just like, what the fuck am I watching?
Well, I mean, Sonic was legally adopted by James Marsden after the first film, so he's his child. I mean, can you really say that that's weird compared to adopting a hedgehog from another dimension that is anthropomorphic?
You accept an awful lot
when
you watch these films. Yes,
suspension of disbelief.
but hot frosty, know, very normal, typical story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a Christmas miracle. Come on.
Yeah. Like, I feel like maybe we've strayed slightly from the path of actual thirst traps here.
I was going to say we strayed from the path of Jesus and we all should go to church for Christmas. What did I get you guys for Christmas? Religion. Religion is what I got you.
Y'all need to touch grass.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out of here and touch grass. I pray for your souls.
I'm expecting that there is someone out there, some person who looks at that hedgehog and it awakens something in them that will only be expressed by wearing a giant furry suit.
I mean, there's a whole generation where Spirit the Horse or Balto the Dog did it for them in their childhood.
I mean, there's another generation before that who looked at the fox from
Robin Hood.
Was like,
yeah. Damn.
I'll die on the hill of the beast is better than Prince Adam in Beauty and the Beast. Like
3,000,000%.
Yeah.
Wait, Prince Adam, wasn't he He-Man?
Yeah, oh, Beast Man, definitely better than He-Man.
What?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? I don't know. Someone pull the nose off of this snowman monstrosity that we have. But what did I expect when we were doing Christmas thirst traps, for Christ's sake?
I mean, we've gone into the end of the year on a very strange sleigh, but
we slayed
all the way.
Slayed this year. Look, thank you for that. Look, there must be plenty of hot thirst traps out there for people to watch over Christmas, and apparently a lot of these are PG enough that you can put it on during the Christmas time, and your parents won't be going, "Oh my god," or like other people who are in those children will they be going, "Oh, that's nice," and you're like, "Yeah, nice." They just have to save their bar by dancing with their shirts off. It's very normal.
Perfectly reasonable.
Perfectly reasonable.
Exactly what we would all do.
Sure. I mean, I love that this year we've even gotten to the point where we attempted, probably unsuccessfully, to try and make Santa Claus himself a thirst trap. Like, you know, J.K. Simmons has got big zaddy vibes, I guess.
He's rocking that jail swole bod.
Yeah. Like,
yeah,
you know, the jailhouse. He's doing it for somebody, me, but somebody.
Him and the old guy in Merry Gentlemen that took his shirt off and did dancing.
I mean, look,
can they have a crossover movie?
As a quick recap of 2024, it really hasn't had a lot of great cinematic masterpieces that have come out in 2024, but it hasn't been absolutely terrible. I mean, we finally got the nail in the coffin of the Sony Marvel Spider expanded universe, I would say.
As a matter of interest, has anyone in the chat, anyone here seen Kraven? Just wondering. Has anyone contributed to its $11 million opening weekend?
Ouch.
Worldwide? Was that worldwide? Cool.
Ouch. Double ouch. Wow.
Actually, sorry. I'm pretty sure it's worldwide. I'll look it up.
But it's been a great year of talking about everything with you guys, which is, you know, you guys that I can see, but also everyone in the chat. It's been really lovely and I have enjoyed it. So I wanted to say thank you. Merry Christmas. Had a great year with
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, everybody.
The offerings may have been bleak, but it was better to be shared with our friends.
I mean,
that is true.
Yeah, absolutely. If you look back, this year certainly has been a race to the bottom with like a number of films that have taken us to the depths of cinematic lows. Sorry, my mistake. Sorry, Kraven got $26 million worldwide and $11 million in America, which, I mean, $26 million worldwide is still fucking rough.
But if you think about it, 11 million tickets aren't $1 each. So that's like not a lot of bodies going to see Kraven.
No. Yeah. There's people have stayed away in their droves. But yeah, I mean, do we have any high points for the year? Like, are there any films that we could actually legitimately point out and go, That was actually fucking great.
Wicked.
We had a great time in Wicked.
Wicked was my film of the year.
And also, I know we never really talked about it officially, but Inside Out 2 I thought was amazing.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
For me, The Substance sits pretty fucking high.
That was also very good, yeah.
Yeah, like, I mean, there hasn't been a great run of, like, big films, but there has been some really solid film and TV shows that have come out this year. I can't pick one because I haven't thought about that and now I'm on the spot.
Yeah. if we're going to talk TV, I will say The Penguin. I think Penguin has to be one of the high points of the year too.
I would say The Jackal was
pretty good actually. Yeah. I just finished watching that too, Julie. It was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Deadpool and Wolverine definitely.
That was also very good.
Big, big lot of fun.
That was a big belly laugh after such a strange year.
Yeah. It was that kind of steam release valve that I think we probably needed.
Speaking of release valves, we are having a release valve, aren't we? For a little while.
We've got 3 weeks off.
3 weeks off. Give yourselves a bit of time. Right. Go out and see Nosferatu on Boxing Day.
Yeah, if I had to see Nosferatu, then so do you.
Yeah. Go out and see why he cast such a
big... That was not on my bingo card. Vampire penis was not on my bingo card.
Why does he cast such a big shadow? You can find... It's not sexy. Like, sorry, I'm selling Nosferatu. It's not a sexy vampire. That was a fun one. Or, you know, talk about religion in Heretic. Go and see that one. That one's out now.
I mean, a bit of fun. I think opening this week, I think, or maybe straight after Christmas, is Mufasa. So if you do want your Lin-Manuel Miranda fix, apparently that's what he was doing.
Oh, okay.
Goddamn, stop it with the dump trucks full of cash. Fucking hell.
Yeah.
Pick a new line. Good. Well, I hope you guys have a lovely break. Thank you.
Yeah. Do we know when we're coming back?
14th of January.
The 14th.
14th of January. Beautiful. Yeah. Oh, Missy's just pointed out Fallout TV. Fuck yeah. Fallout was definitely a high point.
So we'll be back on Tuesday, the 14th of January, after a nice little break of extended things where we can just have a bit of time off and hopefully everything will be refreshed and come back next year.
Binge watch a ton of shit. Queenie's going to watch Parks and Rec and Sound of Music and tell us all about it when we come back.
You know what? I should do Drunk Cinema for the Sound of Music.
Oh,
you should.
No.
You should. There are a lot of questions there.
You need to go into it raw, Queenie.
A lot of butt lies in the Sound of Music.
But
you want me to raw dog the Sound of Music? Is that what you're saying?
Raw dog the Sound of Music, no audio, just subtitles.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Also on a plane on a long haul flight. There you go.
You just hate me so much, don't you?
Yeah, it's for your sins.
Okay, I'll try to do Parks and Rec again. I've got some time. I'll come back and I'll suddenly be full of stupid quotes. And you'll be like, oh, yeah, we get it. Fucking whatever. Yeah, you're not funny.
Shut up, Quinny. Nobody wants to hear about Parks and Rec.
Yeah, we'll all just all immediately be off it.
Yeah. Moved on to the next
one. No one wants your old TV references, Quinny.
Oh my God, it's just like high school.
Oh, no.
Yeah, you just spend your entire Christmas watching all of the Carry On films again, Quinny, and memorizing them.
Jesus.
Oh dear.
Well, everybody, look after yourself in this silly season. It is a time where, you know, some people struggle and it can be a bit of a rough time for people. Look out for your friends.
Yes, to all my bar humbugs out there, look after yourselves and, you know, do what's best for you. If you don't want to participate, just nope out.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, be safe. People fucking do stupid shit this time of year. They drink, they drive, all that kind of stuff. We want to make sure that you're all here with us in the next year. So please be with the safeness.
And maybe this year you'll all collectively buy me some fucking Christmas lights for my screen.
Dion, put your Amazon wish list on the Facebook group.
And, Jesus Christ.
No.
You didn't know that plastic was a thirst trap. And yet.
Yes.
What's that, sorry, Pete?
I said no one's ready to buy that much Lego.
No. Fine. Thank you, everyone. We will, we'll be back next year. And, like everyone has already said, be safe and well. And thanks, everyone in the chat. You've been amazing. And it's been great to talk to you every week to do stuff and also learn some things, which we have learned from you guys. I would not have looked at all of those links that you sent me unless you'd put them in the chat. And now I can't unsee them.
Oh, no.
Help me here, people. I can't end that way. We can't end 24 minutes like that.
Love you all.
I'm opening some space here. Fuck's sake.
Thank you. Thank you and good night.
Merry Christmas.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Happy Crimbo, etc. Yeah.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.